You know, the work holiday party is a great opportunity to catch up with friends that you haven't seen in 20 minutes. Today's Thursday, December 26th. This is The Stoke. Let's get it. Good morning, friends. We hope you had a wonderful holiday. Welcome to the show. You know, we all do it. We sit on a chairlift or a gondola, heading up the mountain, and look up at that cable we've entrusted our lives to as it bounces over the wheels at each tower. As would be natural, you think to yourself, what in the hell happens if that cable breaks? But you quickly pass that off, as you're sure that the welds or whatever the heck's holding that thing together are strong and probably have to be tested, at least more so than the carny ride you trusted your life to last summer at the local mall parking lot for 75 cents. Well, first of all, that rope, which is what they call it, the cable, is made up of several smaller ropes, usually 6, 7, 8 of them, and they're wound around each other in a helix-style fashion. Those smaller ropes are made up of solid strands of wire, just like any other cable that's out there, wound around each other in much the same way. The chair or gondola car simply clamps around the rope with a large clamp, using nothing more than friction to hold it and you in place as it travels up the mountain with you and your pow-shredding jam fam on board. This is what allows them to slow down that lift station. They're obviously not slowing down the lift for everyone. They're simply releasing the car from the rope until you get on, then re-engage the clamp, which is where the car takes off at the same speed as the rope, making you say, "And here we go, hope we don't die." It's funny. Everyone laughs. Good job, Eddie Murphy. Everyone enjoys a good joke. Here's what's interesting. There's no welding, and there's actually no hardware. That rope, or cable, is about 1¾ inches around, and it's not welded anywhere along its path, nor are there any clamps, bolts, plates, or anything else holding it all together. So how do they build it? Obviously, they're not making a rope of that length somewhere in a factory and then bringing it and just threading it around like a bike chain. Well, much like most of your failed relationships, or you being passed over for yet another promotion at work, it's all about friction and an unwillingness to budge. The smaller ropes that make up the bigger rope are essentially unwound, making them look much like your dreadlocks after sleeping on your friend's couch. These smaller cables are then wrapped around the other smaller cables from the opposing end. So think of it as in uphill and downhill terms. The uphill cable is wound into the downhill cable. Essentially, the rope is woven together, just like braids and hair, only with a little more on the line. And this is done for roughly 140 feet in length. Once this line has tension applied to it, the splice attempts to pull apart. But because of this helix-style weave, it actually locks them tighter together against each other. The splice is then marked with paint, so they can inspect it later. So the next time you're standing in the lift line staring up at the cable, and you see a big section of paint come along, that's where a splice is. So that's how that works. So you're asking yourself, but wait, if this is done on the ground, how do you get the tension on the cable and get it back up in the air? Well, you are always the smart one with the best questions. We'll cover that in our next one as we explore how chairlifts operate. Stay tuned for that. And there you go. You just became a little bit more annoying to your fellow passengers the next time that you're on the lift. One word of appreciation to all 220,000 plus of you. Thank you. I mean, seriously, from all of us here at GearMonk, thank you. Just over 12 months ago, we sat around the office wondering if why there wasn't a daily email, an email that kept you up to speed, much like the newspaper did every morning for dear old dad back when you were a kid. An email that didn't read like it had been edited by 11 different people after being written by a disgruntled old journalist that didn't get out of the newspaper industry in time. An email that read like a conversation with your fellow outsiders over a beer after an awesome day outdoors. So, we created one, and we made it something we'd want to read. Something that was fun yet informative, kind of like that friend of yours that will never take life seriously and get a real job, but knows way too much about really obscure crap, and is funny as hell. So you keep him around, but in small doses, like 5 minutes every morning. Kind of like the Stoke. Well, in just over a year, we can say it worked. Nearly 250,000 people read our stupid email every single morning, or listen to it on a podcast or via their Amazon Alexa device like you're doing right now. Hundreds of you have won free gear by sharing the Stoke with your friends. You've all learned new things along the way and learned about new products and amazing brands you didn't know existed. We've learned too. And by listening to you. And guess what? We're still listening. So if you have feedback, head over to your printed copy or email copy of The Stoke and click reply. Our team is always here to chat. Coming into 2020, you won't believe some of the things that we have planned because, well, to be honest, we actually don't believe them ourselves. So we here at GearMonk hope that you had a great holiday and are ready to go crush 2020 Glenn Plake style. And for you younger people that have no idea who the hell Glenn Plake is, look him up. He was the original rad-ass skier before any of the younger people are crushing it now. So we hope that you have a great, wonderful holiday season and hope you're looking forward to 2020. And from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Keep raising the bar, and we will talk to you tomorrow morning.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.